Welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you're ready to tap into your God-given strengths, discover simple success strategies, and set that dream that's buried in your soul free, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter, and I went from building a chimney cleaning business with my husband to ranking in the top 1% as a leader in network marketing to finally finding my true calling as a business coach. I'm passionate about helping others navigate the sea of business and life as they discover the true freedom of being an uncharted entrepreneur. If you're ready to leave the daily grind behind and enjoy life on your terms, let's untie those dock lines and set sail. We are going into uncharted territory. All right. Well, welcome back to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. I am your host, Sherry Miter. And today we are talking with Jennifer Pasquale. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay. And Jen and I met, I think we might be in a similar Facebook group, but we kind of connected on LinkedIn, one of those social media places on LinkedIn, over a post that I had on StrengthFinders. So we connected over StrengthFinders, and she was kind enough to volunteer to be our analytical person on here as we continue our 34 series, going through all 34 of the Clifton Strengths themes. So welcome to the show, Jen, and thank you so much for agreeing to hop on here. We're actually recording on a Sunday afternoon for her, Sunday evening for me, and because we're at different ends of the state. And anyway, welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So as I shared, we are diving into Jen's analytical theme today. And her other top five are restorative, relator, strategic, analytical, and intellection. So Jen leads with the strategic thinking theme, but she does have relator in there and also executing, which is good because executing means you normally can get things done. And relator, you can get in there even though you are probably a numbers person or, you know, factual person. Give me the facts, just give me the facts, right? having that relator in there softens that. So that's a really good balance with that.
Yeah, I definitely see all of those show up in various forms. It was really fun to see those for the first time and kind of be able to think through how those are each, you know, individually showing up in different ways.
Yeah. So actually that brings me to kind of the first question is, what is your history with Clifton Strengths or StrengthFinders, whatever you want to call it? Like when were you introduced to it? And what were your reactions when you first found out what your top five were?
So this is kind of a funny story, which is that I was recently sharing, I forget how this came about, but I was sharing, I think, my full profile with somebody because I was trying to give them a sense of kind of, this is what it looks like this is what you get, you know, as a result. And as I was searching on my computer for mine, I found an old version that I had no recollection whatsoever that I had done. It was like 12 years old, I think. And so it was really, it might've even been older than that, because I think it was like 07 or 06. I mean, it was a good while. And so I was like, oh, this is fascinating. And it was only the top five. So I must've just like done a free or something like that. But it was interesting because there were some, and I don't remember exactly what they were, but there were some that held and there were some that dropped and others replaced them. And so what I was able to see was sort of how I'd evolved and how some of that got picked up this more recent time that I did it. Because I mean, I think those are some important developmental years, right? As an adult, right? And so I think that was my early adulthood into now. And so just being able to see that difference. So I had some of that background, but I kind of didn't know I had it. But when I saw these particular set for the first time, it actually was really powerful for me and really critical in kind of moving me through sort of a hard season I was in. Because not even just for the top five, but actually for me, I found the bottom five the most important because it became this releasing element. I was able to look at those bottom five and go, oh, that's why that's hard for me. Like, why do I keep trying to do that thing? Because I'm not really, not that I'm not good at it, right? But it's not naturally, it doesn't, you know, it takes more energy for me to do those things at the bottom. And so when the coach I had worked with had talked about the importance of, you know, not saying you can't ever be those things or do those things, but that you can learn how to leverage your top strengths to achieve those same objectives. And so that was this really interesting way to frame it. And so for me, it was like the ability to kind of give myself grace for these things I'd been beating my, like, why can't I be more X, you know? And now it's like, oh, I don't need to be more of that. I can just be more of these things that come easy to me. And I can still be well-rounded, you know, while not trying to be something I'm not. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you said that all so beautifully, Jen, like that was perfect. And I'm so glad you brought that up because we really haven't been discussing the bottom five on the interviews yet. And I always tell people you want to acknowledge them for sure. And then just like you, either release them and realize, like, you know, they're just not where I naturally shine. So why do I need to keep trying to shine there when I'm never going to shine there?
And I think they're this really important element because I think it does show you where you may have gaps, you know, like, so now I know, oh, okay. Like that really isn't a strength of mine. So if I'm trying to do that, I am going to have to work a little harder and I'm going to have to leverage some other things. But it's easier, I think, to do that when you kind of know that going in, as opposed to just going like, why is this easy for everybody else? And it's hard for me, you know, like, which is, I think, where I had been for a long time. So that was kind of my initial experience, is it was really as profound in both, you know, both the top and the bottom, not just really understanding what the top looked like for me.
Right. Right. And I love that you were able to just release them. Versus sometimes people look in the, but I want to be, you know, and they're like, why am I not? Why don't I have that in my top five? And it's just like, that's just not the way you're wired. That's just not who you are. And learn to embrace who you are, navigate, you know, there's things we can do to navigate and use our top five to help us get some of those things done that have to be done. Or I'm big on delegating it or outsourcing it if we can, or partnering with somebody.
Well, and I think that's where it becomes really important is that partnering piece, because then you know, ideally, which is what's happened, right? Some of the people I have asked to help me with some of the things I'm working on right now, they excel at those things that are in my bottom five. And that's perfect. Right? That's exactly who I want. Cause I can do the analytics all day long. I've got three things in strategic, right? I got strategy for days. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily, you know, yes, there's good to have balance and have a different perspective, but that is certainly a strength. So what I really need is someone who can help me fill those gaps that pop up. And by knowing those bottom five, it's easier to kind of identify, you know, who's really going to help you fill that gap, as opposed to choosing someone who sort of looks and feels like you in terms of strengths. You know, I think there's a lot of value in understanding yourself in this sort of well-rounded way. So you can strategically, again, because I'm strategy, right? So I'm going to strategically choose who I'm going to pull in to help support, you know, initiatives that I have. So yeah, like I'm a huge fan, obviously.
Yeah. I'm curious, do you have your whole assessment in front of you? I'm curious now.
I actually just had the analytical. Yeah. Well, like I know, like woo is one of them. Woo's not my thing. But I'm an introvert, and so some of that I think is sort of the introverted nature. But positivity is like it's my 34th, and that was one that I really struggled with because you know, sort of by day, if you will, or really like 24 hours a day, I'm a military spouse, and so I'm in a space where things are hard and it's not necessarily an easy life. And there's a lot of folks that really feel like you just have to kind of have a stiff upper lip and just be positive about, you know, this or that or whatever. And I'm much more sort of the realist, and I'm like, I can do that, but I have to also be honest about where I'm at. And I have to also, you know, have some, and it's not that I think positive people don't have authenticity. Of course they do. But to me, if I am sort of overtly positive, it can sort of feel inauthentic because it's not what I'm naturally good at. So I have to find kind of other ways. And for me, it's usually data driven, right? It's usually driven by the strategy and the analytics and sort of looking at things from all kinds of different ways. And then the positiveness can come. But I just have to approach it differently. And so for me, like in my life, that was really important because I think I kind of wondered, well, how come everybody else can just like you know, deal with it and be positive. And, you know, why do I struggle with that? And so that was a really important element to be able to say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I'm just going to be me. And I'm just going to move through these things the way I need to move through them. And I will probably draw people to me who approach it similarly. Right. And that's good.
Right. Right. Yes. That's so good. Such a great conversation that we're having, because again, we haven't really looked at that angle, but I love that because it is so important to see that. And the outcome or the final destination is often the same place. It's acceptance. Sure. Like you said, military life is hard. You know, it can be very challenging and hard, and you can come to that same place as the positivity person that this is our life and I'm making the best of it, but how you get there.
Right.
Has to look, it looks totally different.
And I think for a long time, I tried to walk someone else's path. And so with this, I think what it really helped me see is, oh, that's why that isn't working for me, right? That's why walking someone else's path isn't working. I need to just walk mine, but I didn't really know what mine was. And so now I think that's where it becomes really helpful, is to be able to see that, the full perspective.
Absolutely. And that's why I too am so passionate about the Clifton Strengths or Strength Finders, that it does help people see, like, oh, like you experience, this is why I'm so good at this and why I can do this, but it just drains me, or it's not in my joy spot, or, mm-hmm. you know, there's days when when we have to do what's in that bottom part.
Sure.
And I've learned, but I have to stay in that place. Like, I just plan it on my calendar that it's going to be a day at the end of the day, I'm going to be totally drained.
Right. For sure. Well, and as a non-wooer, like, there's a lot of function, like there's a lots of military functions, right? There's lots of things I go to, and they're kind of, I wouldn't say they're scary, because they're not scary, but they definitely create sort of this nervous energy around it, because I am not, it just doesn't come easy, right? The conversations don't necessarily come easy. You know, I'm really happy when I connect with someone who is a wooer, because they'll ask me all the questions, right? And we can have this really great conversation. But if I'm in charge of the conversation, it's gonna take a lot out of me. Mm-hmm. And so you just, you know, recognizing that and knowing that, you, to your point, right? You kind of go in with a strategy. You go with a buddy. You know, a lot of times my husband and I'll hang out for a bit, and then, you know, I have a chance to meet people and be able to interact with people. You know, like, he's sort of my crutch,
right?
Because he's much better at just sort of like talking to whoever, you know. So it's like you. I'm a big fan, because I think there's no downside to being able to see yourself through a different filter, right? And so even if every one of the traits doesn't line up, and you think, oh well, you know, why is that 16? I do that all the time, you know. That's fine. It's just about being able to kind of, I don't know, for me, just think about those things differently, and also just know how they show up and how they could be a hindrance. If you've got this thing that's a strength, you know, if it's such a strength that it prevents you from kind of seeing other things, then that makes it a liability, right?
Right.
And so it's just awareness. Like, at the end of the day, I think it's just that awareness that's so important. And, you know, Clifton, this particular assessment, I think, provides a really great 360 view of a lot of things that are important to just know about yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's actually talk about analytical. I'm going to read the description according to the official Clifton Strengths description here of it. And then we'll talk about how analytical has shown up in your life and when you are working in it at its best. And then we will talk a little bit about the blind spots too, to be aware of in the analytical. So according to Clifton Strengths, people with strong analytical talents challenge others to prove it. They take a critical approach to what others might quickly accept as truth. They search for the reasons why things are the way they are. They want to understand how certain patterns affect one another, how they combine the outcome, and if the results fits with the theory or the situation. Others see them as logical and rigorous. Some might feel that they are negative or unnecessarily critical when they are simply trying to understand something. They bring an objective and dispassionate examination to things, enabling them to find the causes and effects, and then develop clear thoughts based on facts. People exceptionally talented in the analytical theme search for reasons and causes. They have the ability to think about all the factors that might affect a situation. So when you hear all of that.
Oh my, yes. Like all the things. It's almost funny to me that it's five, because I feel like I see this show up at a higher level than five, you know? So yeah, I mean, everything you said fits me to a T. I mean, I definitely see where my need to kind of evaluate from all directions. And again, you know, knowing that there's three strategic elements in my, you know, top, you know, tier makes, it makes it a hard place to be sometimes. But I have to look at things from all directions, and I'm always sort of thinking of what's the second order. Okay, well, what's the third order? You know, and there's a lot of people who really just focus on, you know, what's this first step that I need to take? And I am constantly finding myself, you know, really starting to think through like, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to take this step, but then what's going to happen, and how, what's my plan for that? Do I have a plan for that? Do I need a plan for that? So there's just a lot of thinking that goes on. but I think it allows me to not be surprised, I think, as often, because I've looked at it from so many different angles that a lot of times I've discovered, you know, things and been able to anticipate things. But I had, like, someone close to me had said to me once that one of the sort of blind spots, and I wonder if it shows up because of this analytical strength, is this idea of sort of borrowing problems from tomorrow, right? Like being worried about what's coming next and being able to see that, like, this could happen. And so I'm going to worry about that today. And I'm going to try to put a plan in place to account for that today, because that's what makes me comfortable, right? Instead of just focusing on today. And so to me, that's kind of in that sort of analytical bucket, if you will, in terms of how it shows up, and it's something I just have to be aware of and be careful of.
Right. Right. Yeah. And some of the blind spots are, some people may feel like you ask a lot of questions, like, can we just get to the point?
Oh yeah. Talk to my, yeah. Yeah. There's a few people in my life who would say that.
Yeah. And how do you handle that when you feel like, wait, I just haven't gathered enough information for me to either go to the next step or to make a decision? Like, how do you handle that situation, Jen, when you don't have enough facts, but you're sensing that other people are kind of getting like, can we just get to the, you know, make the decision?
Right. Here? Well, I mean, I think it's, it takes some practice, I think, to just read, you know, just be able to read the room. I think part of that relator helps, and that restorative helps, because some of those other top strengths, I think, come into play in terms of my ability to see what's happening and be able to respond to that. I think I have learned over time how to not need all the questions answered. So I'm going to, you know, I'll keep asking and I will have the questions. But I think as I've gotten older, I think I have started to really understand that to only ask the critical questions, right? And so I'm strategic about my questions, shocker.
That's good. I like that.
In order to ensure that I don't sort of tax other people, or to, like, I think you'd mentioned it earlier. I think, you know, I've been in rooms where I'll ask questions because I will see what someone else maybe doesn't, you know, they're not in that second or third step, right? I'm already in the second or third order step of what we're talking about. And so sometimes what I'll see happens is I'll see the expression that says, why are you asking about that right now? Like, we're not there, but I am anticipating that if we don't consider this, we could make a misstep right now. And so it's really, I think, really reading body language, understanding sort of the audience, and I think understanding how to frame it. So often it's, you know, I'm asking because of this, because I think if people understand why you're asking, then I think it's easier to not sort of let that end up being taken personally, or, you know, that you're saying that the current solution is a bad one. Like, it's none of that, right? You're not judging the current solution. You're just asking questions to try to fill in the gaps you have about what may come next. But I think that skepticism is a thing, you know, and I do, it's something I do have to be conscious of. And I've, you know, sometimes I'm good at it. And, you know, there's definitely been times where I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop asking questions now. because I don't, you know, you never want people to feel like you're saying it's a bad idea. Like, I'm absolutely not. I'm just saying have we thought about this other thing? And the, often the answer is no, we haven't. And maybe the answer is, and we're not going to, and that's okay. But that's the value I bring, is I'm able to see those things. And so then we can decide whether we want to talk about that next step and what that second order or third order might look like, or we can decide we don't want to, because we think it's not critical enough to really need to be part of the conversation. So I think it's, you know, I can't get too sort of married to needing my, needing my questions answered. Because ultimately we have to move forward. Right. And that's, I think the challenge with analytical is, you know, sort of, if you know, the phrase analysis paralysis, right, is a thing, and it's true. And sometimes, you know, I think if you haven't harnessed this as a strength and it is still a liability, it tends to show up as not moving forward and not ever having a point where you're like, okay, I now know enough to satisfy my, you know, my needs and my curiosities, and I can, and now I can move forward. And so I think you just, you know, it's one of those things to just be conscious of.
Mm-hmm. And can you think of a time or a scenario that, because you took the time to ask the questions and to look those 2, 3, 4 steps ahead, that whatever, maybe a project or something you were working on was better because you could foresee things that others may not have taken the time to think through?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I feel like there's a yes.
I'm sure there is.
I'm struggling to find, you know, an exact sort of time that that's happened. But you know, one of the things that I think, and I don't know, like I'm thinking through like what I'm doing now and how this plays in currently. So right now I run a site for military spouses, and essentially it's a community, and I'm hosting an event, the first that we've ever done for this, for what we're calling seasoned spouses, which are folks that are just essentially at kind of the tail end of service, trying to just support spouses through some of the personal development that comes. And this process has been a really long one, right? So I've had this community for almost over 2 years, so almost 2.5 years. And I have very deliberately and sort of analytically been approaching how I wanted to support this community. And I've had a lot of advice about where, you know, where to go and how to do it and how quickly to move through it. But I have really kind of stuck to what worked for me, which is this very sort of slow and deliberate process. And I'm really happy with where it is right now and this event that we're doing. And if I had tried to do this 2 years ago when I first started, I don't feel like it would have been the caliber of event that I'm able to put on now. And that to me is because I sort of leaned into my analytical, leaned into that need to understand what was the thing that this community needed most, and took the time and didn't just jump forward and really waited to see what those second and thirds would look like before I, you know, kind of committed to something kind of big. So I don't know if that answers your question exactly, but that's where I would see that kind of showing up, is I had a lot of advice to just go, do all the things. And I know, like, that doesn't feel like the right step. Does it mean we grew slower? Yeah. Does it mean, you know, we could have done this, you know, could we have done this a year ago? Maybe. But it feels right now, it's working right now. And so I'm happy with how that's happened. And I feel like that a lot of that is because I leaned back into that analytical and didn't push forward too fast with execution. Like, execution is not, you know, is not necessarily like my top thing. Right. And so I was willing to wait. I was willing to be deliberate. And I think that served this particular project. It served it well.
Yeah, that is a great example of doing that, of taking the time to just do it your way and really realizing, like, we need to look at all angles. And I think that's why it's really great if you are an entrepreneur of any type or working on a big project, it's good to have somebody with analytical high on the team, because they are going to be the person that's going to say, well, wait, we need to look at all the angles here. Mm-hmm. To make sure, because a lot of times when we jump too quick into something, that's when there becomes problems along the way that are harder to solve when you're in the middle of it versus looking ahead, you know, thinking through all the possibilities, good and bad, that could happen before you get to them.
So and it's, you know, I see entrepreneurs all the time that I'm really impressed by their ability to leap. I mean, you know, entrepreneurs, I think, are really good at leaping, right? And sometimes I have trouble putting myself in that category because I feel like that is not necessarily my strength, right? If I'm going to leap, it's going to be with like a pair, you know, a reserve already attached, like just in case, right? But it is interesting because I do wonder if that is, for the really successful entrepreneurs, is that an element of kind of your toolbox that you have to have that ability to just leap? And I think a lot of people would say that it is, that it really does, it serves well because some of those risks work and some of them don't, and that's okay. Right. But you're never going to know if you don't take them. Mm-hmm. And I could have sat on this for another year probably, because that's knowing who I am. But even this felt like a leap, even though I know strategically it wasn't necessarily a leap, it still felt like one. I think it is interesting to look at kind of the traits of entrepreneurs and what are some of the things that really, really do help propel some forward faster. And you know, being sort of the, you know, tortoise in the hare, right? I'm okay, you know, sort of being the tortoise in this, like that's okay with me. But my objectives are different. You know, my objective for this is really about, not about building a business and just about really support. So it's a different, you know, it's a whole different objective, right? Mm-hmm. If I were trying to scale a business, I would make different choices, as would probably anyone else. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I digress.
No, that was good. And one of the things I love is the suggestions of who to pair with. You know, we kind of started off the conversation about that, but also now, so that there is that time of, sometimes we just need to leap, mm-hmm. but then other times the leapers, I'm one of the, it's funny. I have strategic as number 5. Analytical is, I think, 12 or 13 on my 34, but I leave with a lot of influencing and stuff. So I do tend to just kind of jump with a little strategy. I have a little strategy in there. And then I'm like, let's just do this. And sometimes that works really well. And then mm-hmm. other times it's like, should have thought that through, or like, you know, even with starting a business this past year, I reinvented myself. And there's a lot of things looking back that like, I probably didn't need to do that. That was a waste of money. Should have waited on that. Like looking, you know, back.
Yeah.
Now,
but like, you know, and I'm trying to remember the phrase, there's a phrase and I'll forget it, but I love, you know, where it's essentially reframing failures, right? And just focusing on the fact that there really isn't such a thing. I mean, yes, there's things that don't happen the way you intended, that's absolutely a thing. But there is no lack of lesson along the way, right? So, exactly. You know, you could go back and not do those things, but then you wouldn't have those lessons. So you can't. And it's even the same for me. There's all kinds of things I would do differently, but I wouldn't, because all of them got me to where I am right now, and that I'm happy with. And so, but it's hard sometimes to not, you know, look, especially I think if you have any of that strategic in your, you know, in your top tier, it's hard to not like, why didn't I see that? Right. I'm strategic and I'm good at that and all those things. But you can't anticipate everything. And so being able to just take the wins where you get them and then learn from the rest, you know, is how we all propel forward.
Absolutely. Yes. I've always said we're either winning or we're learning.
Yeah. Right.
There's no losing. Right. You're either winning or learning, you know? So if you take that, at least in business and life, mm-hmm. There is winning and losing in a game, but
sure. But they're still learning in a game too.
still learning. So people that, as an analytical theme, you might want to surround yourself with, which is interesting, strategics mentioned, which you already have strategic, belief or empathy talents. Mm-hmm. Their insights and intuitions are difficult to measure, but their assessments are often accurate and valuable. So teaming with somebody with belief and empathy makes, again, for that a really great partnership for somebody mm-hmm. with analytical. And also develop your analytical skills by sharing ideas with outstanding analysts who specialize in your area. And that's something that I think is important when you do have that analytical mind, is you also do need to surround yourself with other people. And you kind of touched a little bit on this, that have the same type of mindset, because then you can sit and talk where do you feel like you're analytical? Because some people, like with analytical, they're very numbers oriented, where others are just more thinking of the steps. So where does it kind of, how does it show up in your life?
Yeah, I would say I'm both, really. Like, I love data. I could do data all day long. Like, I was shocked that I think my data is still like in my top 10 or something. Cause I almost did a statistics minor. I was like a class away from a stats minor in college. I love the data. So I would say the data definitely drives a lot. But the planning is, it's there too. I mean, I think that is part of where I see analytical show up is in that both need and that skill of really looking at what's coming and being able to see what's coming. And that to me is sort of that planning element.
Mm. Yeah. So having people on your team that can help you like look at that, or not in that case, you're not really helping, but it's more of just talking it over, like all the mm-hmm. different steps. And you can get in a conversation about data and all the analyzing things.
Yes. Not everybody's going to be as passionate about that as,
right. That's why it's as you will. Find those people that you can right. talk all day long about that.
Yes, for sure.
And then definitely, which you've already done really well, of volunteering your services of, with an organization that would allow you to use that analytical side of the steps that it takes to organize something and all the looking ahead. I mean, that is important mm-hmm. when you are planning something and running a bit large organization to know that you can, again, foresee things mm-hmm. that others is not even on their radar.
Right.
And they could easily miss it.
Something else I was thinking about is just the, in terms of again, just how this sort of shows up is, I think what's been really valuable about knowing that this is a strength for me is that it makes it easier to name sort of behaviors, right? So when I am not moving forward because all the pieces aren't in place, I know that's sort of my analytical side keeping me from moving forward. And sometimes I just have to say, nope, I'm not listening to that today, right? Today, I don't have all the pieces, but I'm going to move forward anyway, because I trust the process, or I trust the other elements that I've put in place. And so I think just being able to name it for me has been helpful, because then I can see it, right? Okay, that's me being, that's my analytical taking charge. I'm going to move that down a bit, and I'm going to move some execution up, and we're going to move forward. So I find that also kind of helpful. Of just that whole naming process of knowing yourself a little differently and being able to say, yep, that's that, we're going to stop doing that now. We're going to,
yeah. Well, definitely sounds like, Jen, you have done a great job really figuring out how to use all your strengths for the better and recognize when they're not necessarily showing up, but it's just recognizing that, like, ooh, that's over here. We got to curb that, and stop mm-hmm. that, which is recognizing that, like you said, or aiming it and claiming it. And like, Clifton yeah. Strength says, it's really good. Anything else yeah. that you would add about analytical or strengths overall?
I think the other thing that, that I remember being talked about when I sort of learned about this is the idea of, really just being focused on facts, sort of pushing emotion to the side and really like, okay, what do the facts tell me? And really being sort of fact driven, which makes sense. But I think it's just important to remember that that's how you make decisions potentially, right? But you're going to be in a room with people who make decisions that might be more emotionally based or more, whatever, like their own sort of personal way of doing it. And so it's really just understanding that in a room full of five people, we're all going to have five very different strengths. And so how I make decisions is going to have this analytical component for sure. But someone else may not have that. And so having sort of, I think that patience, through this process and letting each person kind of work through the decisions using their own strengths, like that's how we get to good decisions. And that's how we build a, you know, a strong team, is we're really leveraging the gifts that each person brings, knowing full well, the way you make decisions may not be how I do it. And so I may have to just be patient through your process because I need you to be patient through my process. And giving everybody this sort of the space for that. And so I think that's, I think that's an important part of knowing these things. I love it when companies, you know, take this on and use this as a tool for them to really ensure that they don't have all, you know, they can't have an entire company of analytical people, right? They're not going to move forward. They, you know, you really need a balance of people with a balance of strengths to really, I think, not necessarily the best way to do it, right? But just to have a well-rounded team, this is one tool. This is one, I think, really great tool that you can utilize to try to help you get there.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, I 110% agree. It's just, it really is in so many ways, just knowing ourselves, seeing all that, like you touched so beautifully on today, and also knowing what our team looks like, even whether our teams are family,
mm-hmm.
work environments, you know, a team we lead or a team we're on, all those things. It's so valuable to know that and have that. Yeah, it's great.
Well, and one of the things I really loved when I worked through this initially with the coach was she was a Clifton Strength coach, but she was also a clinician. And so she had this really kind of beautiful way of being able to help me see it both for sort of the business aspect, if you will, like here's what I do day to day, but here's how this shows up in my personal life. And here's how this shows up in my marriage. And here's how this shows up as a parent. And so that was really powerful, I think, to be able to understand that it's not just like, this is not just a, you know, a workplace tool, right? This is a tool that allows you to just see yourself through a slightly different filter for all the different places that you are in, all the different roles that you serve. And so that I loved that part of the experience too, was just seeing how it shows up and how it applies across the board.
Yeah. And it's fun once you're aware of it to know that, oh yeah, that's my, this
show. Right?
You know, my yes. husband, and people who have listened know that like it took a long time to get him to take the assessment, like years. Though funny, like you shared, when we actually just realized he actually did take it back in 2016. The day after I initially took it. So I don't remember what event, like you, I don't even remember why we took it back then, but something, and we just did the top five and I never did anything with it, but yeah. It was the day after. And like you too, two of his had changed. My guess is that for you and him, those ones that changed probably would have been in your top 10. Had you had that
perhaps
assessment back there, they just shift around a little, like you said, mature, life changes. But three of them were definitely still the same. But anyway, adaptability. Yeah, adaptability was one of his that we did actually one of the interviews with. And he's a firefighter. They had a huge fire. He wasn't on the scene for the fire, but the next day, and there was just so much stuff coming at him all day long. Yesterday, we went for a walk this morning, and he's like, I definitely saw my adaptability working. Like I was so adaptable yesterday. And it was so funny to me to hear, because he was so like, I'm not taking the assessment for the longest time. And now he was just like, you know, half the conversation was how his adaptability showed up and he used it. So,
yep. It's cool. It is. I don't think my husband's taken it. I'd have to ask him, but I don't think he has, but it would be interesting. I think like a lot of couples, right? Usually there might be, I don't know, stereotypically I'd say like the spouse takes it, but then you're like, hey, you have to take this, 'cause I need to know all these things about you. I remember we did that with, I think it was the Enneagram that I did. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to know, you know, I need to know what you are. And, so it's always fun to just, again, get to see your partner through a different lens for the same reasons, right?
Right. Yeah. It is helpful, because then you do understand why they do the things they do, or their quirks, their habits, things that's all tied in there.
And yeah.
Yeah, and recognize.
Well, and the thing I love about the way that they give you, like the way the assessment is, I love my favorite part in each of them, and I'm sure this is because of one of my top five, is I love the blind spot section. Like, you know, and it tells you, here's what you might not realize about how this shows up for other people, right? Here's how you may be perceived, or, you know, here's what the rub might be with a partner or a teammate if you're highly analytical and they're not. And so I love that part because I find that really just eye-opening, just to know, you know, because it's not my intent, to make, you know, to, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it, like when I was looking at analytical, like that's where it talked about the way people make decisions. And it was just a really good reminder. Oh, right. Other people make totally decisions completely differently. And I have to leave space for that. And so it wasn't saying it was bad about me. It was just saying, hey, you might want to think about leaving space for this because this is your top trait. And so I found that really helpful as well.
Right. Yes. Totally agree. But, well, this has been such a delight, Jen, like so many things that we talked about, and it's a great new perspective, even than what some of the other interviews have looked at. So I'm glad you brought up like the blind spots and the barriers and looking at that, being aware of your top five or your bottom five, not dwelling on them, but being aware of them. How do we manage those? How do they, you know, how can we, you know, use that information to either partner with somebody, not worry, just accept that that's just not me and move on.
Right.
Or learn to manage it by utilizing one of our strengths and to manage it. So really great information. So thank you so much for being on the show today. Really, truly did enjoy this conversation.
Me too. Thank you.
All right, that concludes this episode, and I hope you are enjoying this series and hearing how the Clifton Strengths themes and talents show up in real life humans and how they turn those themes and talents into their strengths, or how they use them in their daily lives, or how they're going to start using them in their daily life. And I also hope it inspires you to head over to Gallup and take your assessment today. As you know, I strongly encourage you to go for the full 34. And again, I don't make any money from this. Like, I am not affiliated with Gallup, nor are they affiliated with me. I just highly believe in it and totally geek out on strength finders. But take the full assessment. And after you're done, post your top five and tag me in it. Or if you don't want to do that, just shoot me a DM or send me an email and let me know what your top five are. And if you're surprised by it, I'd love to hear from you. And thanks as always for being a listener to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast.